Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marty Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marty Swedberg. I'm here today with our guest, Shayla Hilton, and I'm excited. We're going to talk about prioritizing your wellness and rebuilding your lives. As we go through this interview, we're going to discuss the five ways to rebuild your life, the most important thing to remember about wellness, the easiest way to reset your habits, the biggest mistake when starting a wellness journey, the two simple strategies to grow in your wellness, the method Shayla uses to start a rebuilding phase of life, three insider secrets to refocus your goals, plus three-step formula to revamp your lifestyle. Our guest today is Shayla Hilton. She is the author of Chasing Contentment, plus a coach, speaker, and educator who compassionately moves women from discouraged to refreshed with real-life stories and practical strategies. You can learn more at her website, shaylahilton.com, and also invite Shayla to speak over at womenspeakers.com because she is one of our speakers over there. And I'm super excited to welcome you here now. Welcome, Shayla.
Hey, Marnie, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It is so fun to have you. And, you know, we actually met each other a long time ago at Tracy Ensley's group, which is such a loving, caring group of Christian YouTubers. Absolutely. And I fell in love with you there. And then when you joined womenspeakers.com, I was like, I know you. How do I know you? Oh, I know how I know you.
Exactly.
You have such great content. How long have you been doing your YouTube channel?
Just a little over a year now. February 2021.
Yeah. And you're just like a pro, you guys. If you check out her YouTube videos, you're just going to love them. They're all so well and lots of really great content.
Thank you so much.
Well, I am excited to dig into this wellness, rebuilding your life. And the top points are so great. So we're just going to dive right in. Yeah. So you actually have five ways that we can rebuild our lives. So just go ahead and tick them off maybe for me, and then we'll maybe go back and unpack a couple.
Sure. So the five ways that I think we can really begin to rebuild our lives is, first of all, communicating with God. That's always first and foremost. The second way is just to have the courage to try again, whatever you feel like has broken you down. I think that's very important. The third point is like your cause. Like, what are you doing? Why are you rebuilding? What has God called you to do? The fourth thing is having the right community around you, just as like what you were just talking about, having communities in Facebook or in your personal life to really support you. And then the last thing is just consistency, just being determined to be consistent with whatever it is that God has given you or called you to do.
That is so great. So the first one was your relationship with God.
Yes.
And the second one you said it was?
Courage to try again. Really having that courage.
I was thinking when you said that, the thing that came right to my mind was forgiving yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think lots of times we try to do what we feel like God called us to do, or we start out on this path, like I'm going to fulfill this mission or this vision, or I'm going to get healthy, or I'm going to start a business, whatever it might be. Yeah. And then when we feel like we've hit a roadblock or we feel like we failed, we just don't have that courage to try again. Right. And we need to forgive ourselves and know that it's okay. We can always start rebuilding. We can always start right where we are, pick up the pieces and just go from there.
Yeah, I do. The program that I have for people, I call Courage and Clarity Coaching, because that's just exactly what you were talking about here. Because when you aren't clear, which was point number three, when you aren't clear about what you're supposed to do, when you're iffy about it, you think of Gideon. Yes. He didn't have the courage to go forward because even though God came and told him specifically, it was too overwhelming for him. He's like, I don't think you got the right guy. You know, I think something's messed up about this.
Somebody else, please. Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, the Bible criticizes him for putting those fleece out. It never has a harsh word for him about that. God really needed him to be sure that what he was doing was God, because he took him down to 300 men.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think when those five points that you made are so important, because they embrace this whole
getting on the same page with God, getting clear about what he wants you to do. If you mess up, forgive yourself, keep moving. And just don't give up. Just keep go.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So you have one thing that you think is like the most important thing. I'm so curious what you're going to say.
So I think the most important thing to remember about wellness is that it's a lifelong journey. So I think lots of times people want to take hold of like these quick fixes, or I need to get off 30 or 40 pounds by the end of the month, or for this function that's coming up, and they put a lot of pressure on themselves to get it done. And then when they don't get that done, or they don't meet that particular goal, they beat themselves up, or again, they aren't forgiving of themselves. And I just want everyone to remember that wellness is a lifelong journey. It's something that we are doing continually throughout life. There will be different phases. There will be up and downs with that. And it's not all about ways about something that can happen instantly or right away. You know, we're learning and developing, and we're getting better with our wellness as we go. Wellness is not always about dropping pounds. Wellness is about, are you spiritually well with God? Are you emotionally well? Are you mentally well? Are you financially well? You know, so it can encompass a lot of different things, but it's just a journey. It's a process.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I think just in the past year, so about a year ago, right before my youngest son went into the military, we were talking about my weight. And he said, have you ever considered having a coach? And I said, I've had so many coaches and they just don't understand me. I can't find somebody who really gets inside, like, I don't even understand what my problem is. So, I mean, I need somebody who's going to dig a little deeper than just saying, eat this many calories. Exactly. It isn't working. So he recommended my oldest son. The youngest son recommended the oldest son. And I just said, that's brilliant. He'd be perfect. Yeah. And he's been coaching me for the last year. And I tell you what, I have replaced so many bad habits in the last year. And I'm not seeing the weight just fall off yet, although I did lose 8 pounds in the last month, which is good. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yes. But it's real slow going because these habits are very deeply ingrained. Yes. And I have always, Shayla, I have worked really hard at losing weight, but what I would do is I would crash it off. Uh-huh. Then I would crash and burn.
Yeah.
Then I would gain it all back plus more.
Right.
And exactly. So all that hard work over all of these years has ended me up very big.
Yeah.
Instead of this process. So what he does the most for me is exactly what you just said. What he does the most for me is he talks me off the ledge when I want to go back on something that'll get the weight off quick.
Yes.
He'll say, Mom, what is your real goal here?
Right.
Exactly. So I love that that's the most important thing. And I'm really finding that to be so true. And I bet if you would have interviewed me a year ago, I maybe wouldn't have agreed so much.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's a process. Yeah.
It is. And I'm loving the results. They're just slower than I'm used to, but then I always have the rebound. Okay. Yeah. Habits are a huge part of this whole wellness thing.
Yes, it so is. And that exactly what you were just saying just set us up perfectly for this next part, because I think the easiest way to reset habits is to give yourself grace. I think we have to give ourselves grace and know that we might mess up today, but it's okay. We're going to just start again tomorrow, or, you know, the next day. It really is okay. Like, we feel like it's something that we have to completely be on and never make mistakes and never eat a donut. And, you know, and it's like, it's okay. Just give yourself some grace. We are all living and we're doing the best we can, and it's going to be all right. And so if you mess up, just jump back in there tomorrow. And I think we have to do that, and we have to be patient with ourselves in the process. Yeah. And we can even pray and say, God, I'm really having trouble with this, because lots of times we think I can't stop eating, but it's typically not that you can't stop eating. It's something else going on. You know, like sometimes we're pushing down feelings, or we're trying to process or work through something. So it's not that you have no control and you can't stop eating. You're just trying to calm down a bigger issue. And so we can speak God and say, God, what is this I'm really going through? Like, what is it that I'm trying to suppress? Can you just give me some insight and some clarity about what's really going on here?
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things I've been hearing in my heart, so I talk to God all day long and he talks to me all day long. Yep. And one of the things I've been hearing in my heart a lot more recently now is when I will have a desire for some kind of a something, let's say a sweet or a salty or fatty or something like that. I will just pause a moment and I will just hear in my heart, it's just the habit.
Yeah.
It's just the habit talking. I'm not even hungry for that.
Right.
It's exactly. Just the habit talking. And yeah. Boy, habits have a lot of, I call it the locomotive, where your habit is like the train. It's the train and it is going fast and furious in the
exactly.
form down the That's train true. Track that you set up before. So at some point you decided this is what you wanted to do was have ice cream before you went to bed every night or something, you know, and that locomotive, it's just going, that habit. And you can't just say to a locomotive going 100 miles an hour, turn. It can't. Exactly. It can't derails. It. Yeah. That's why we can do a crash diet for a little while, but then we mm-hmm. derail. Yeah. So it's so great. Important to look underneath. But I love grace is huge. Yes. Biggest yes. mistake yes. made when making starting a new wellness journey. What's the biggest mistake?
I think the biggest mistake is just assuming again that it all has to happen really fast.
Or yeah, I'm gonna be so perfect at it.
Yeah. And it's we're all working through it, right? Or the biggest mistake could be that, you know, we think that wellness is just about drinking protein shakes and losing pounds. And it's not. It's so much more, you know. It's about your whole being. And, you know, the Bible talks about being in health and even as our soul prospers. And so that's a lot of different pieces there, our spiritual, our mental, our emotional, our body. And we sometimes just really like fixate on the weight loss part. Right. And it's like, there's so much more to it. If you are feeling well, if you are doing well, then those things will kind of naturally correct themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think people have told me over the years, people who have lost a lot of weight, they have said, I had to work really hard on my thinking.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard the same things. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have three simple strategies to grow in our wellness. What are those?
Yeah, I think some simple strategies are just to commit to one or two things at a time. And just to really narrow it down and get really specific and really focused on a couple of things instead of trying to do a whole lot at one time. So you might want to choose an area of wellness that you're going to focus on, you know, maybe for the next 30, 90 days, you say, I'm going to focus on my financial wellness. And so I'm going to focus on saving and I'm going to focus on not spending frivolously, you know, whatever that might be for you. And just to really just focus on those two things and don't worry about investments and this and going here and doing that. Just really narrow it in and just commit to two small goals and then just be consistent with those things. And I think that's helpful in any area that we want to see improvement in any area that we want to really be well.
Yeah. One of the things that I started was because I'm changing so many eating habits over a period of time, I started a daily roster for myself that helped me to kind of track my water, what I'm actually doing during the day. And
absolutely,
because I've just got so many different habits, but I have limited it to one habit a month, where I can introduce one new habit a month. And if after the second month, it's slipping, I go back and I have to redo that habit for the next month.
I love that.
I have a program called 21 Day Wins. And that's what we do every month. All of us choose something that we want to work on, either a project we want to get finished or a habit we want to make or break. And I guess as that came out of my mouth, one of the things I want to talk to you about habits too, you guys, is that you can't actually just break a habit. It leaves an empty space, and there's actually nothing such as an empty space. This has air in it right now in the empty space. So you have to actually fill it with something else. So whenever you break a habit, you have to make a new habit in that place. Don't just break one.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So did we get a second strategy there?
Just the consistency of whatever it is that you commit to, the one or two things, just to be consistent with it. Over a period of time. And it might be an extended period of time. You know, we like things to happen quick. Like, you know, I've been doing this for a week now. I'm not seeing any results. Yeah, right. It may require longer than that.
Hang in there. Right. Yeah. It's going to be a while. Okay. What is the method that you use to start a rebuilding phase of life? Well, can you, before you tell us your method, tell me an example of a rebuilding phase.
Yeah. So I think a rebuilding phase of life, it can be in many different areas, but for me personally, like, if I've tried to start businesses before in different ways and in different seasons of life, and they didn't necessarily work out the way I wanted them to, or they didn't last how I thought they would. And so a rebuilding phase for me looks like God saying, okay, I'm giving you a new set of blueprints. We're going to try this again. Here's how I want you to do it this time. And so for me, I had to let go of, okay, well, that's not going to work, or that's not going to happen in the way that I expected it to. And I have to let go of, well, God, did I do something wrong? Did I not follow your directions? Did I mess it up? So really just letting go of all of that. When you find yourself in a rebuilding phase, you're typically in a place that you've tried it before. And so you're a little nervous, like, well, I already tried that and it didn't work. So should I try it again? And I think God is typically urging us to let go of all those things from the past. Don't worry about the parts that didn't work. We're trying it again. And here's how I want you to do it this time. And so that to me is the rebuilding phase. And so I think the method I use is really trying to stay close to God and really trying to hear him and releasing what I feel was past failures. I feel like, but I already failed at this, God. And I have to work on letting that go and just starting new and trying again.
I love that. It's what you're talking about is grace. I mean, all the way through this is grace. Be gracious to yourself. God is gracious to you. Be gracious to yourself. I'm thinking about how so much of it is timing, and it just isn't time for you to do it yet for one reason or another. Yeah. I remember there was this day that my little guy, he is probably six at the time, and he came out after church and he said, what do you think Paige will say? And Paige was an adult friend of ours, and we had hung out with their family quite a lot recently, and the kids were similar ages to their kids. And I said, what do I think Paige will say about what? Uh-huh. And he said, when I ask if I can marry Elizabeth. And I said, he's going to say, wait a while.
Yeah.
You're six. Yeah. But you know, I mean, so many times what we're trying to accomplish, we're supposed to be learning something here or meeting someone here or moving to a different location here and now in order to set us up for what's coming later. And we can't see that. That's, I think, a lot of the answers that we don't have right now are timing related.
Yes. So true. It's so true. And I've had a hard time with that because I'm like, but Lord, you show me it. Why?
I know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the personal assistants I've had over the years, one of my favorite assistants, Lori, she came to me, and she had, every time I would say to her, do you have any experience doing this? She'd say, oh yes, I did this over here. Or yes, I did that over there, or whatever. And after she was my personal assistant for a while in the ministry and with my stuff, we bought a store, and she said, I love being your personal assistant, but I really love retail. Do you think I could go work for you at the store? And I was like, oh my goodness. You know, so all of these things that God is building into your life, there's a reason and there's a season for the use of it. Yeah. And we can't see that in advance. We have to just trust that God's ordering and orchestrating that. Okay, refocusing on our goals. So is that like I started to do something and then I forgot about it for a while?
Yes, I think it's I forgot about it, or it could be I got frustrated, so I said, forget about it. So any of those things could be a time for us to really refocus on our goals. And
so do we come into a, typically then it sounds like we would come into a period of refocusing on our goals, feeling a little like a loser.
Feeling let down a bit. Disappointed.
So your three insider secrets to come back and refocus on those goals.
I think to really just kind of write out a short-term goal, an easy win, something that you can accomplish quickly. So maybe not the end goal or the end results you're trying to get to, but maybe what's just the first step in that process, so that you can get an easy win and feel encouraged again, feel excited about it again. I think that really helps. Also asking a friend to hold you accountable. Because sometimes if we're the only person who knows about our goal, if we get frustrated, we can be like, forget it. But yeah. when someone's there supporting you, like your sons, or holding you accountable, then, you know, they'll check in with us and say, how's it going? Where are you in the process? And that can help us to really refocus and feel refreshed about it again. And then when we just decide how we're going to reward ourselves, when we get there, when we reach the goal, what are we going to do as a reward? We can be thinking about that early on ahead of time. So we're like, you know what, when I get this done, here's how I'm going to reward myself because I'll deserve it. You know, that'll really help too.
Yeah, I love that. When you were talking about accountability, I think what a lot of people have experienced, and I certainly have experienced it, not always, but many times with a coach or with an accountability group, you will get with someone who is very judgmental and is not very gracious.
Yeah.
And that's a killer. That is really hard on you when you're really trying to do your best and absolutely. Be human and not doing it perfectly. So it's very important that who you find to be accountable to is very gracious and loving, acknowledges that they too have flaws and mistakes, maybe not the same ones as you.
But
that's the thing that I guess I always felt like I wished people could do more of in some of the coaching that I'd had before. And it definitely affects my coaching going forward. So I'm so grateful for it, but is to recognize that even though the coach or the accountability partner doesn't have your exact weakness, they have a weakness that they can identify where they are trying and they're letting God change them, but it just isn't happening fast. Absolutely. And they really relate on that level. And I think it's a way to come in, like my husband and I years ago figured out that if we have a difficult conversation to have, if we pray first, it levels playing ground. We're both just sinners saved by grace, standing at the foot of the cross, trying to figure this out, you know?
Right. Yes.
Instead of feeling so superior and so, you know, dead set on getting your own way or whatever. Yeah. I feel like in accountability groups that needs to be there, that grace piece. And it's kind of funny. That's kind of the theme of this whole interview. Who knew, but
exactly. Yeah.
It's so necessary. I always say I can live without a lot of things, but I can't live without grace.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Thank you, God. You have a 3-step formula to revamp your whole lifestyle.
Yeah. And I think when we're revamping our lifestyle, what that means to me is, especially when we have a goal we're trying to reach or something we're working on, we might have to do some things totally different. So, you know, we might have to really make some serious changes, and we may even have to say, God, I'm really going to need your direction on how do I do this differently? Because just like when you were talking about the habits, once things are like ingrained in our routine or ingrained in our mind, it's really hard to change those things. It's really hard to like immediately make these drastic changes. So when we're revamping our lifestyle, I always encourage people to go back to God in prayer and say, I really need help. I'm going to really need you, Lord, to give me direction about how to do this differently. And then I think we have to just kind of get used to the discomfort, because it's very uncomfortable to do something brand new. It's very uncomfortable to change habits. It's very uncomfortable to make changes, even when you know they're for your good and you want to make the changes, it can be uncomfortable. And so I think we have to just kind of create even daily to-do lists for ourselves to say, here's what I'm going to work on today, just a couple of things, or here's how I'm going to make this lifestyle change. For example, if you know, like every time there's a event at work, people always bring lots of snacks and lots of donuts and cookies, and you know that this is something that you don't want to do right now, maybe you'll bring your own snack. Or you'll bring a few things from home, which is probably not as exciting, I understand. But we have to do some things like that for ourselves to help us really revamp something. Yeah. We might have to really be deliberate about the changes we want to make. Mm-hmm.
So can you go back and tick them off for me, step 1, 2, and 3?
Yes, absolutely. Verse 1 is asking God, you know, what is it that you are building, or what is it that He is doing in you right now?
Yeah.
The second one is really getting comfortable with the discomfort and kind of just accepting that for what it is. And then 3, really making yourself some actionable steps of like how you're going to revamp. You may need to really write it out.
Yeah, I love that. So in your own life, what is a recent habit or change that you've made that you're just really loving?
I would say a habit or change that I've made, especially in health, we'll say in health and wellness. So my entire life, I have not been a healthy eater. I just never have. I like chicken tenders. I like French fries. I like cupcakes. Okay. So I have to be really deliberate about making healthy choices. And so I use, for probably almost 3 years now, I found some supplements that are really work for me. So it helps me to get in my daily veggies, because I'm probably not going to just be eating veggies. So I had to make sure I get to drink those each day. I make sure I'm working on my digestive health and things like that. So I make I made these changes to make sure I get in the nutrients and things that I need, because I know that if it was left up to me, I probably wasn't going to do it. So I had to really get deliberate about, okay, well, if I'm not going to eat veggies every day, then I'm going to have to drink them. That's the only other option. So I can do what I need to do.
That is one of my favorite things to do, is get up in the morning and have a big veggie. I just have a big veggie drink. Yes. And I actually make enough so that I can have one first thing in the morning and have the second half of it at first hunger. Yes, exactly. And that takes me well past lunch. And then I just have a small lunch, and then I can have some supper. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're expressing there too, it's exactly how I feel about it. In fact, I call my vegetable drink scrubbing bubbles, because I have this picture of them going down into my yes. veins, scrubbing away some of that exactly. plaque and fat right. kind of built up there. Yeah. And it's really good for us to do things that make us feel happy and like we're taking care of ourselves. Those are some of the things that really help us to move forward. As we feel like we're being kind to ourselves, we yeah. want to be more kind to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. And how about, what is one thing that you've always done that you still love to do? Like, is there an exercise or something that you've done your whole life?
Yes. I love to take walks.
Take walks.
And yeah. I think sometimes people think you have to be in the gym for hours. And if you yeah. do that, that's great, but you don't have to. You can start with a 20 or 30 minute walk every day, which I love to do at least a 30 minute walk, or well, it depends. Some days I do 30 minutes. Some days I'll do an hour, depending on the weather. It's very hot. I can't do it. So I like to just take a walk, and I'll listen to a podcast or listen to music. And, you know, I just feel like it's a great time to just be with God, and I'm able to hear him, and we're kind of brainstorming and while getting exercise at the same time. And when I come back, my mind just feels clear. I feel better. I feel ready to take on the day. So I love walking. Mm. Always love walking.
And I'm going to just be right there with you, except I use an elliptical. Yeah. So I used to just go somewhere and use an elliptical, but now we have one actually in our Florida room that I can use year round. Even it's so fantastic, even on a rainy day or a cold day, it doesn't matter. But I have, I was telling you before we came live, I actually have a whole a clipboard with a light on it, because it's usually dark out there. Uh-huh. And I love to just go through all of my my big mantras, yes. and then I do my big prayer list, and then I pray through all the countries of the world, praying for the women of the world.
Yes.
I have this whole routine out there that I do with Jesus in the morning. But one of the things that that walking or exercise does for us is it actually releases endorphins. They're the feel good hormones that actually make us feel alive. And there's a principle that the more you eat, the more you'll eat. And the more you sit around, the more you'll sit around.
Yes.
Yeah. So making a change in the right direction can make a big difference.
Right. Absolutely.
I want to go back up before we're done, and I want to kind of end where we started, because you had 5 ways to rebuild your life, and I want to just hunker down on these for just a couple more minutes, and then I'm going to tell people how to get a hold of you.
Sounds good.
All right. Number one,
communicate with God.
And there's a verse in the Bible that says, pray without ceasing. Shayla, that verse used to make me crazy, because I would really try. And then I realized, oh my goodness, I haven't thought of God for 3 whole hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm such a loser, you know? Right. And I'd be like, why do you ask me to do this when you ask me to do other stuff? If you want me to just think about you all day long, I can't do anything else. And then he gave me the analogy of the dolphin, which a dolphin is a water dweller under air, but an air breather. So the dolphin has to come up for air continually, constantly, but it isn't always up for air. It just comes up for air when it needs air, and then it goes back down and does all its stuff.
Under
it. Yeah. And we are earth dwellers, but prayer breathers.
That's so good.
So yeah. We live down here, work down here, but whenever I feel my peace getting shook up, or whenever I'm excited, or whenever I am experiencing grief, whatever the emotion is, if there's a big emotion, that is Jesus calling me to come and talk to him about it. And that's how I connect with God through the day. And then of course in the mornings, and you know, there's other specific times, but just, he is right there with us all the time. And he really has our best interests at heart all the time.
Yeah. Yes, it's so true. Yeah, I think sometimes we think like, God's too busy. You know, he has so many of us children and so many things to be concerned with. But God is really intimately concerned with each every one of us. And so we think, oh, I'm not going to bother him with this. But he really cares. And he really wants, he wants to chat with us all throughout the day about
everything. He does. He does. And the way that he shows us that is by doing the one thing that none of us would ever do. He counts our hairs. Human, unless they're bald, would ever do that.
Right.
You know, we just can't tolerate the thought of it. It would be too time consuming, too close. But yet God, that's how he says he thinks about us, like the sand on the seashore, or I know how many hairs are on your head. I think about you all the time. Yes. Okay. So just connect with Jesus all the time throughout your day and spend special times with him, just like you would with your husband or your friend or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two.
Courage to try again.
Courage to try again. What do you say to the lady who has tried 100 times? She has lost weight, some even huge amounts of weight, gained it all back. And she has decided now, I will never diet again.
Yeah.
It's too painful. What do you say to her?
I say to her, first, I agree with you. Don't diet anymore. It's too much work. Just refocus your plan and your mind on, you know what, this is going to be a lifelong thing now, and I'm just going to take it slow. I'm going to take it day by day, and I'm just going to change a few habits to really focus on my health. That could be drinking more water. I mean, it could be really, it seems very simple, and it seems like, well, that's not a big deal. I'm not running for 4 hours, and you don't always have to do that. It could be something very, very simple, but just commit to making those simple changes, because those things compound over time. And so it'll seem like it's no big deal, but then, you know, months later or years later, you'll be like, wow, my pants are really loose. Wow, I can do this again or that again. You know, so it'll just happen gradually.
Yeah. Years ago, I was so upset with dieting. And I was just talking to God about it. And I'm like, I never want to diet again.
Right.
And he said, good. Because if you, because he said, if you look at the word diet, it is actually the word die with a cross at the end of it. He said, I did it once for you. You don't have to keep doing it. Isn't that powerful? So stop dieting and start. And when we say have a closer relationship with God, it doesn't mean that you don't have a close one right now.
Right.
What's happening with me is that I am, as time goes by here, I'm getting more courageous to bring everything that's been in the dark out into the light. And just recently I made a small change that just seemed like it shouldn't have mattered at all, but I had done something with food the same way for decades. And I made a change that would make it more authentic, more out there, more vulnerable maybe. And when I did it the next day, I absolutely had a terrible day. I never eat ice cream before I go to bed. I used that as an example earlier because so many people do. I never have done that because I've always had a weight issue my whole life. And the other night I ate 2 little bowls of ice cream, which was crazy for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on? What's going on? And I ran back to Jesus and I refused to not do it. I was going to not listen to you telling me I didn't need it. I just was going to have it right then. What happened to me there? And he just prompted in my heart, even though that seemed like such a small shift, it was a huge shift to bring something that was in the dark out into the light. And I had a freak out moment after it.
Right.
Okay. But he gave me grace. So I could give me grace and I didn't have to fall off the wagon and go gain back all the weight I just lost. You know what I mean? It's like, keep, you know, when we're walking closer to Jesus, trusting him more with this. And he knows how hard you've tried. He knows everything you've ever done. And I really feel like I learned years ago in the category of filing things. So there's a program that I bought called Paper Tiger. And okay. it was a method of filing things, organizing things so that you could find any paper in 30 seconds or less. Oh. Well, that was like my husband and I, that was our biggest marital conflict. It uh-huh. happened almost daily. He would say, "Where's the blank?" And I would say, "I will see if I can find it." And I would go into panic attack and I would look and search and search and search. And yeah. hours later, I'd find it. And yeah. When I took that training, she said, the people who have the hardest time with organization are the most organized people you'll ever meet. Wow. And it's because they're so organized
yeah.
that it gets so tangled up. So yeah. here's what you're going to do. And so she taught us a method. When it comes to this dieting thing and this weight thing, I really, at least for myself, I feel like the people who know me best, they say, I have never met anybody that has worked at this harder than you have. Mm-hmm. I think the people who struggle with it the most are the people who've worked the hardest at it. Exactly. And not always. There's some people out there that are just big and never have tried. Do they just let
right. it go?
Right. But there's a lot of big people who really have worked very hard.
They really have. They've tried everything.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And yeah. so the courage to just, and my book called Flow Through Vessel, it's stop trying so hard and start yeah. trusting God more.
Yes.
And it's like that word try has come up a lot here because that's our mentality is always just try. Well, I'll try that one. Well, yeah. I'll try this one. And God's just calling us into this deep, close relationship with him where we grow into trusting him more yeah. by revealing more of ourselves and being gracious to ourselves when we fall and mm-hmm. all of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of it is so true. Okay. What's number four?
The third one, cause. Oh, yeah. We're on three. What's right. the cause? What are you trying to do and why?
You said know? Mission vision earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Like why is this important to you? Mm.
You know, it's really interesting. So I have some weight goals out there for sure. Mm-hmm. Things I have mm-hmm. in my mind.
Yeah.
And even things God has shown me. But when it came down to actually be able to make progress, I had to kind of set those aside mm-hmm. and not be so focused on the pounds. I had to focus on saying yes to Jesus every time. Yeah. And when I'm in a situation where I'm trying to decide if I'm going to eat this or not, and that looks so good, okay. I just have stopped saying, how much do I want to weigh? Mm-hmm. And I've started saying, where's my yes to you here?
Yeah.
Where do I say yes to you? And you know what? Sometimes he just says, eat it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. I'm right here with you.
Right. With you. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that just happened yesterday where it was like, really? Yeah. And it was so fun because I could just eat it and enjoy it.
Exactly.
But having that vision out there, what is it you really want to do? And for me, more than the weight loss or anything in my whole life, Shayla, I just want to say yes to Jesus.
Me too. Absolutely.
The motivation yeah. of that is way more powerful yes. than any motivation of losing a pound or losing even right. a lot of pounds. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'd love that. And I think sometimes when we feel like, well, I am saying yes to Jesus, he's the one who led me to lose the weight or get healthy right. or do this or that.
Right.
But we still have to remember that, you know, that yes can be ongoing. And so we have to continually yeah. say yes. It's okay.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You have made a yes in your heart and now you're just kind of walking it out. And so just keep saying yes. Because
well, and I think it's kind of back to that dolphin analogy. I remember one time years ago standing in front of my closet and I was just kind of learning about talking to God all day long. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so like, how much involvement do you want here? Do you want to pick what I wear today? I mean, how much, right. what do you want? You
know? Right.
And you know what I heard in my heart is he just prompted in my heart. If you're fine with just grabbing something and putting it on, you're good to go. You don't have mm-hmm. to talk to me about it. But if you experience any anxiety in front of your closet today, bring me into the conversation.
Yes.
See,
that.
It's the dolphin. I need air. I'm going to go up.
Yeah.
You know, yes. And we feel that need to connect again, the stress. It's actually such a good thing because, mm-hmm. you know, you have a soda bottle and if it's a flat can of pop or whatever, it's no good. It's useless. It has to have enough pressure in there to make it fun, to make it work. Yeah, exactly. A balloon, a tire, all of yeah. these things need a certain amount of pressure. We need a certain amount of pressure in our life. But when the pressure goes up, that's when we need to get back into communion with God again. And that's when we go up for air through yeah. prayer and connect with him again right here, right now. Yeah. So, but getting clear with him about what he's calling you to is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think yeah. sometimes people will think, like with the clothes analogy, someone might think, that's silly. Why would I ask God what to wear? But we never know what God is setting up before us in the day. Like if you feel a prompt to put on that purple shirt today and you feel like, well, that's weird. Why? God may have someone prepared to say, when you see that lady in the store in the purple shirt today, go ask her this or go say, we just never know what he's preparing or what he's setting up. So it might seem silly, but we have to follow those promptings.
Absolutely. What's next?
The next one is community. So making sure we are in community again, having those people around us, having the right people around us. Like you said, people who aren't going to make you feel bad, but people who are really going to encourage you and uplift you on your goals while you're on your journey. Just having the right team is so important.
I think one of the things I want to bring up here real quick, and then we'll conclude with the last point, but one of the things here is to be in a group or in relationships that are not competitive, but that are collaborative in nature. And it is really hard on you and on your heart, especially in an area of weakness, to be competing with people who don't have your best interest at heart.
Yes.
I have no problem with running races and things like that. That's fine. There's a place for it. But if you feel like you have raw open wounds in this area of your life, it is not the time to be competing.
Exactly.
Wait until you're healed and then go run a race for fun. But but don't be competing with people while you're broken. It just doesn't work.
I totally agree. Yeah. And I think sometimes people, even they don't necessarily mean it, but people use language like, oh my gosh, it's so easy. And it's like, I struggle with when people say that. I know they probably don't mean any harm, but when it's a sore area for a person, that can be very hurtful. And so I just think we need to stay away from that type of language, particularly coaching and mentoring and supporting, because that person has been struggling with that. They are doing all that they can do. And you're like, it's so easy. Just don't eat it. Just whatever. Just, you know, it's not that simple. It's not that simple.
No, it's so true. So true. And I feel like too, back to the, so for you, it's easy, but for them, it's hard. Just change your mind about how you're communicating this. Think about your hardest thing.
Exactly.
And how that's easy for most everybody else.
You know,
I think often through my life, and we've owned a store, and there are people that are just kleptomaniacs. They just walk in the store and they start stealing things. And I have thought so many times, praise God, I have never struggled with that. Right. I have never, ever just wanted to hide something in my jacket and walk out of the store. Why didn't I have that struggle? Why didn't I have 1,000,000,000 other struggles? You know, be kind. Yeah. Be so kind. I think we're at number five.
Number five, and just consistency. So whatever it is that you're working on, working toward, whatever it is that God called you to do, we just have to do it consistently. That could be a while, but we got to hang in there and just remain consistent.
And I think consistency too, in parenting, they always tell you that consistency is the most important thing that you can do. Just, you know, be loving consistently, discipline consistently. And I remember the pressure of that when I was a young parent. And I was like, I can't do it. I keep missing it. I keep just blowing it, you know? And then they showed me kind of more, it's more like the dolphin again. It isn't consistent every second. It's consistently like, don't die, you know, keep breathing. You don't have to do
it. It's so good.
Sometimes you go early. Sometimes you're just about out of breath, but just keep breathing.
I love
the definition they gave me that freedom. We were in it was actually in a marriage conference, and they gave me this definition of consistency. Consistency is what other people predict you would do if in a certain situation.
Okay.
So you do it so consistently that if you were to ask your kids, what is your mom going to say when she sees you doing that? They know exactly what you would say.
They know.
And you maybe don't say it every single time, or maybe sometimes you just extend grace or let them stay up later or whatever, but pretty much they know, you know, because you've been so consistent. So I love the consistency piece is huge. And it just makes the difference between success and failure, because anybody can do something for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And that's what they always say, you know, especially in weight loss, you know, it's one thing to take it off. It's another thing to keep it off, you know, because then you don't have people, you know, noticing every week, and, you know, it's just a longer game. Oh, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Shayla.
Wow. Thank you, Marnie. This was fun. I loved having this conversation with you.
Oh, I love your heart and I love what you're doing in the world. So you guys, you want to reach out to Shayla for sure. Her website is shaylahilton.com. What are they going to find over there when they go there?
There's lots of fun things there, more information about wellness, more things about faith, and just my goal is just to encourage and support you wherever you are in your journey.
Mm-hmm. So wonderful. And of course, her YouTube channel too, you want to subscribe to that. Yeah. And then if you need a speaker, especially on wellness, consider Shayla. She's one of our featured speakers over at womenspeakers.com, available to you, so you can reach out to her there as well. Thanks so much for being here, Shayla. And thanks you guys for being here. Just so loved having you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
So much, Marnie.
All right. Talk to you guys next time.